Hello, hello, shalom, everybody. Thank you for tuning back into the Littered Way. I am your host, Sharon Leonard, and I just wanted to come on here real quick. Today's episode isn't going to be extremely long. I just wanted to come on here real quick and discuss something that I did mention in my first episode, I believe. We discussed briefly about my family's beliefs, and I just wanted to touch base on that because I feel like I've been having more and more conversations with people on everyday basis about religion and beliefs and things like that. So I felt like this would be a good time to talk about it. And just so put this out there, this is not for me to try to convince, convert, or convict anybody. That's not what we're out to do. I just like to share information that I've received and pass it along. And whether that little nugget helps you, that's on you and your relationship with the Most High. And I like to share information, and if the Most High convicts you to do something different, then let, the Holy Spirit do that. But it's not my job to do that. So without further ado, I wanted to talk about what we believe, which is we believe in the Most High God of the Bible, the God of Israel, and his son, the Messiah. And so, pretty much, that would be like God. Modern day Christians would say God and Jesus Christ, pretty much. But we use their Hebrew names. So, if we're talking about God, we usually say the Most High or Yah. If we're talking about Jesus, we're going to say the Messiah or Yeshua. So, and if you don't know Hebrew, I mean, that's just simple, maybe Googling or something like that, so you can verify what I'm saying. All these things you can verify on your own. So a little bit of background about how we got into this walk. So the biggest thing is, we learned about being on this walk is about the seventh day Sabbath. So in Hebrew, it's Shabbat. So the Shabbat has always and will always be on Saturday, and that's what we believe. And it's the truth. The day of worship was changed many, 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 many years ago, and it was changed from Saturday to Sunday, and most people don't even know that, and they just been going along with worshiping on Sunday, not knowing that they have been deceived. So once we found that out, and shout out to our good friends Chelsea and Sanchez, my friend Chelsea and her husband, they actually introduced my husband and I, and they introduced us to Seventh Day worship. So it was about 7 years ago when they asked us to come to their church, and they were at the time attending a Seventh Day Adventist church. And just as a full disclaimer, we are not Seventh Day Adventists, we're not Jewish, we're not none of those things. But at the time, we were attending a Seventh Day Adventist church. And I wouldn't say that, I feel like it gave us a good foundation on what you should and shouldn't do on the Shabbat. And when I say that, I mean, although I do not agree with a lot of things that go on in these churches, we all know corrupt things, or not even corrupt, but people are more legalistic in their approach, where they're just like, it's just straight law and nothing else. That's what you kind of want to stray away from. But for us, that's what we wanted to stray away from. But it did give us a good foundation on what we should and shouldn't be doing. And what I mean by that is, in scripture, it specifically talks about how the Most High wants you to honor him. And he asks you to honor him in certain ways, especially when it comes to his weekly Shabbat. And he's basically like, this is a gift. It's for you. I did all these things in these 6 days, and then I took a break. And I think that some people think that taking a break is literally just giving him an hour or two of their day on a Sunday, and they shout in church and then they go to IHOP and eat. I just it's if you're really into context and if you really want to understand the God that you serve, if you say that you serve the God of the Bible, it's very important that you know exactly what he's expecting from you. You can't give him what you want to give him because you're not his creator. He's your creator. And as I'm saying these things, I want anybody to know that if you this doesn't resonate with you, it's because maybe that's not the God that you serve. And that's fine. This message isn't for you, but for the people that they do believe in scripture and the word, and they hold the Bible close to their hearts and they say that they are believers, that's very important that you understand how he wants you to serve him. And not just on the Shabbat, but on other days as well, and how he wants you to walk through life. And when you get serious about that, you start realizing that, yeah, your pastor may have, preached a good word on that Sunday, but it's not enough. It's not enough. You're not really learning anything. You're just a lot of amen, hallelujah. That's not enough. You should praise him, of course, but that's not enough. That's all I'll say there. So yeah. Sorry, that was a little bit of a rant, but I as you can see, I'm very passionate about this. But like I said, anything I'm saying, please research on your own. So the next thing is that we do follow the Levitical dietary guidelines and the feast days. So when I say Levitical, it's Leviticus. You can look in the book of Leviticus and go through what the Most High said to the children of Israel. And it's another thing. Some people will say that they don't have to follow these guidelines because they are not the chosen people. And my rebuttal for that is, without even going into scripture, it'd be like, well, why do you want to be a Gentile? Like, even though Gentiles are to be saved because we're not, radical Hebrew Israelites either. We don't believe that only black people will be saved. That's not what we think at all. You are to be saved, but there are restrictions and rules and guidelines to doing and being saved. And it's all right there in that book if you look into it. If you're not considered of Israel, right? Because there is a group of people that are of Israel, and then there are, the Gentiles, the other nations. And so the Most High says, what their guidelines are. And I think that a lot of people, just in my own opinion, I feel like a lot of people like to say that they're not Israel, so they don't have to keep those rules and guidelines because they don't want to. Because it's not about the Most High, it's about them. It's about your own desires, and your flesh is weak. And that's fine, but just admit to that. Just say, I don't want to do that. That's too much work for me. Don't say that you don't have to do it, or that, you're not the chosen people. I do not want to be a Gentile. Not nothing wrong, but I want to be a chosen one. That's what I aspire to be. And we truly believe that we are descendants over time. So for me, I'm going to do everything possible to live that life. I'm going to do, like I'm saying, do my best to what for me, everything. If I feel like if it's a salvation issue, and if your ultimate goal is to make it, to heaven, if you believe that there is heaven, whatever, if that is what your belief is, wouldn't you want to go above and beyond, pretty much is what I'm saying. Why do you want to do the bare minimum? Now, I would say I wasn't like this until I got into, like I said, I was introduced to this walk in my early 20s, and we didn't really get like really deep and serious into it until my late 20s, right? So, but there were just things that I didn't know. It's different from being ignorant and having like a sense of apathy and a sense of entitlement. Like, no, this is my life. I can live it how I want to. I just don't care. It's completely different. When you're ignorant, you don't know. But once you know better, you do better. And I definitely feel like that's a lot of the reasons why people, they still want to eat however they want to eat, and they still want to give into the worldly desires because of that, because you don't want to change. You don't want to have things taken away from you. And there's so many different examples of that in scripture. And I'm not going to drop scripture on you, so we're going to keep going. So, like I said, we adhere to the Levitical dietary guidelines, and you can look up all of those in Leviticus. And most of the time, people know that it's like pork and shrimp and catfish, but there's a whole list of things that's clean and unclean, so to speak. We honor the feast days, so we honor Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. And so I really oh, and also too, sometimes we'll do Hanukkah. That's kind of new for my family specifically, just because it's not a commanded feast day. And the reason why I say we honor these is because there's certain things in scripture that the Most High tells you is it's a commandment. And most people think that there's only 10 commandments. There's actually like 613. And that's another thing. Like, if you don't have to honor the things that the Most High told the children of Israel, why are you honoring the 10 commandments? The 10 commandments was given to the children of Israel too, along with all the other ones. So it doesn't make sense. You can't pick and choose what you want out of scripture. It will come back and bite you hard. But the feast days, these specific feast days, these seven, are the commanded ones. Some countries, they celebrate Purim, Hanukkah, and a couple of other different ones that are still honoring the Most High, but they're not commanded, so people still do it, but we don't do those. But there's nothing wrong with it. And so we try to avoid pagan traditions. And what I mean by pagan is anything that has roots behind it that don't tie to the Most High, or kind of flip it and try to make it seem like it's about the Most High. These pagan traditions could be like Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, Halloween, New Year's Day, things like that. And I know everybody's like, oh, you don't believe in Jesus's birthday? It's not Jesus's birthday, but nowhere in scripture will you find that the Messiah's birthday is on December 25th. But you can do your research on your own, and you can, do that. And I know that people will still, I'll get so many people giving me rebuttals and backlash about that. Like, well, we're just, honoring it, but he didn't tell you. He did not tell you to honor his birthday. He did not. There's nowhere in scripture that says that. It does not say that. And what I was saying earlier, is that you can't honor him the way that you want to honor him. You can't honor him the way that you're choosing to. He gave you specific instructions on how you should, because he knew that these things would come out to where people are, what does Santa Claus have to do with the Most High or the Messiah? Nothing. Presents, all these, there's a lot of different things that's behind it, and it's on you to figure out whether that's something that you're comfortable with sharing with your family. And so, and it was hard for us to move away from Christmas specifically, because it is like supposed to be like this jolly time of the year. And your kids, we have two small kids, so they would see Christmas trees all over, and which is pagan, by the way. But you'll see Christmas trees and just snowflakes and all these things, and your kids are just so happy, and there's presents, and Santa, and you have to be like, we're not doing that. But we still, our kids get gifts all year round anyway. It's not about that one day, and we educate our children and let them know this isn't what that is. And there's In scripture, it talks about being in the world but not of the world. And you can go into so many different things just with that one verse, but almost everything in this world is pagan. So it's really hard to steer clear from all of it. However, you should do your best if you're in this walk to be in it but you ain't got to participate. So for me, if I'm at work and I work in the educating field, and so if I'm at work and people are decorating and they're decorating their decorating for a specific holiday, they might ask me, to hang something or whatever the case is. I'll help you if you need a me to spot you so you don't fall off that ladder, but I'm not going to actively participate in the festivities. I'm not coming to any of the parties or anything like that. Like, I don't want to condone anybody else to celebrate that either. So I just don't participate. It's fine for me. And like I said, the other holidays was not hard to give up. People say Valentine's Day, but my husband shows me he loves me every day. So I don't need it for that. But and if you are interested in any of these things, I always tell people, like I've said this like I think 3 times, please, please, please do your own research. Please, there's so much information out there. It's not hidden. None of these things are hidden. It's right there. You just have to search for it, and you have to figure out whether or not that matters to you. If it's not important to you, okay, then if anything in this message, if it was a nugget and you can get something out of it, take it, and everything else, just throw it away. It's fine, because everybody's not going to hear the message, and it's okay. And sometimes the message isn't for you. So I will say, if you want to do more research, there's a couple of different resources. There's a book called Behold a Pale White Horse. That book is going to take you a million years to read. It's so detailed, and you have to go back and do reference checks and all this stuff, but it's a phenomenal book. So I would say get that book. That's a really good book, just for, not just for, if you want to call it religious purposes or whatever, but just about the world in general. You'd be surprised in what you would find in there. The second thing is, you can Google search Hebrew Congregation of Atlanta. That's the congregation that we attend, and that will give you a little bit more information as far as in depth about what we believe as a whole, as a congregation, and how we support one another, and just give you some more information. And there's also YouTube videos on there and Facebook videos and stuff like that. And you can also Google search MTOI, that's MTOI, Messianic Torah Observant of Israel. And there's a rabbi there. He is phenomenal. His congregation is phenomenal. I believe they are based out of Tennessee. And we have been following his congregation for a while. And if you YouTube some of the things, it's so, he has this series, and it's called the 613 Commandments. When I tell you, I mean, I think it's like a good, I don't know how many parts it is. Gosh, we watched it so long ago. 46 parts maybe. I don't know. Don't get me telling, stories, but it's a really good series, and each, part is about an hour and some change. It's gonna take you a while to get through it. I mean, it took us a lot of Shabbats to get through those that series. But my friend, it will give you a breakdown of all the commandments and, context behind it. It's all about context, man. So that is really good. He has a few other series on there. Awesome, awesome stuff. Very wise and trustworthy man of Elohim. I will say that. I think that he's doing good things. His congregation is good, and really good information. So there. And the last piece of reference that I wanted to give you guys is a channel. It's called Truth Unedited. You can look it up, truthunedited.com, or you can Google search Truth Unedited, or you can look it up on your YouTube search bar. But this channel is phenomenal too. These videos are a little bit shorter. They're just like 30 minutes each or something like that. But they have, well, this man, and no one knows who he is. I have no idea who he is. We've been trying to figure out who this guy is. But the channel's been up for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. But he throws out videos every Friday. Yeah, every Friday it releases a video. And he also has, you know, a series. And one of his series is called The History of Religion. And if you go through that series, I believe that series is 63 parts, and it's not as long, but each video is about 24 to 30 something minutes. But that will give you everything you need to know about the history of religion, because it's not even just about, it's not like all the religions ever, because I believe there might be 50, I think it's like 5,400 different religions or gods or something like that we looked up. But it gives you the basic history of religion, especially for the United States, like the people that worship here. And it's a really good series, and it gives you a straightforward breakdown. No, like, you know, some people are very biased and they don't want to give you facts. He's giving you the truth, and it's unedited. So hence Truth Unedited. So I recommend his channel. He's not going to give you any fluff. It's just what it is. He's going to give it raw, the raw deal to you. So I think that that's a good place to start if you are interested in learning a little bit more about how things came about, how they are. And it's good for your kids to watch too. The Truth Unedited channel. It's kid friendly. He does a lot of animations on there. And if any of the videos are not kid appropriate, he always puts a disclaimer at the beginning, and he'll say, "Hey, have your kids walk out." But I've only seen about two or three videos that ever talks about that. And it was directly relating to sexual relations with, you know, marital couples or whatever the case was. So anyway, that is all I have for you guys today. I'm sorry for rambling, but I really wanted to get that out. I think this is a really important topic, and I could talk about it all day, but I just want to know if you guys have any questions or if you have any feedback about this, and I'll answer. You can respond back, and I'll see you guys on the next episode. Bye.